Thank you very much for having us. I say that being with my youth. I want to thank my youth for showing up when I asked them to do that. I also want them to see different congregations, and it's good to meet you guys. I told them about you a while back, and this is the first time I invited them to worship with us in praise and worship. You're one of the few groups that I've been to, and I don't know if they will say it, that I'm sure, because I can hear you when I'm there, when you're singing, I can hear you. You're one of the few groups where, yes, the people in the front are supposed to lead in blessing you, but I believe the people in the front get blessed by you because you sing back. When you sing back, it's authentic. You know, some people, they just sing for pretense, for show, but you guys sing back, and you can really feel it. You close your eyes, you sing, you really are prepared for worship. I don't say that very often. They know that. I haven't said this in a long time in different churches. You're one of the churches that sing back, and I'm sure that they're blessed by it. I can tell. I know them well enough that when they're standing here, they're blessed. I can see when Nico beguys them, beguys. I know he's being blessed. I know that. Emmanuel is one of the leaders we have in youth. That's Nico and Rochelle as well. They're leaders as well. But there are a few. We have a few teams that we have, and we're going to be working with you and your youth, and hopefully we can do a lot more things together. Because when we go to the kingdom of God, there's no separate doors for different churches. There's one door for everybody. So that's how we're gonna do it. We're walking into Holy Week, and I'm going to not give you the Easter message because we're doing one Good Friday as well. But usually in March is when I challenge people about what you should have done in January. You made a lot of promises in January. We call that resolution. And usually it's March that you start breaking them. Or you feel regretful that you haven't done them. June is when I come and speak of what you should have done in March. That you should have followed through when you made a promise in January. So there's only three things that I use for myself if I want to revive again. You know, sometimes we feel that God is silent. And that it's now February, my paycheck is not covering. The relationship I have that I wanted to fix is not being mended. There's no growth in the groups that I, you know, the person I love doesn't love me more. Whatever the issue is, there's only a few times in my life where I can say, okay, Lord, I need to reset. And when I do that, I don't go to big programming. I don't go for pizzazz. Those are very—they're quick. You know, they're not sustainable. And when you do this in your personal life, you tend to extend it to your familial, to your corporate, and then to your church. And if you do it this way, I feel, and I've seen it, that this is true. Change and revival. So, when I feel a little down, there's only three things that I go to. There's prayer, Word of God, and fasting. Prayer, Word of God, and fasting. One besets the other. If I want to have a stronger prayer life, I go to the Word of God harder. If I want more from the Word of God, I go to the prayer life harder. Why? It's communication with God. So today, I bring it to James chapter 5, verses 13. I will read all the way to 20. James chapter 5, verses 13, all the way to 20. And if I could ask my brothers and sisters to stand up in reverence of the word, I will read it. You follow me silently with your eyes. James chapter 5, verses 13 to 20, I read. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer.
prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man of subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Let our Heavenly Father put his stamp of approval on the reading of his word. And you can take your seats. I look back at my relationship with God, and even when the beginning happened, God and man were joined by communication. Daily they walked together. They call that perfect unity in the Garden of Eden. Remember that? Every single day, there was word of God directly from God. And there was prayer, communication to God. This is communication. Word of God, God speaking to me. Prayer, me speaking to God. And then I bring to you, how do you treat your best friend, brothers and sisters? Think of your best friend. Well, some of us, it's your better half. Filipinos, my best half. Di ba? Tinginan nila yun. Nakikita ko na. Alam ko na kung sino-sino dito. Okay, sige. How do you treat your best friend? Do you only call your best friend when you need something? When you're in trouble, is the only time you call your friend? That's not how communication works. Why did you form that relationship when you said, you are my friend? Let alone your relationship with God. I see people all the time. We sit and we want to conquer things for God. Yet, we put prayer as a last resort. Lord, ganda pa ng prayer namin. Upo kami. Prayer meeting. Kanya-kanya kami. Brother Marvin, kaya lang mong trabaho. Okay. Let's pray and fast. And God gave. And then nawala. Nawala. Saan ka nung Linggo? Trabaho ko. Saan ka nung Wednesday? Trabaho ko. Prayer meeting. Trabaho ko. Hindi ba pinag-prayer natin yan? What happened? We're built for prayer. We're asking God to take all his power and lay a foundation around us so we can attack life. Yet, we don't pray. We want to overcome all the demons, yet we don't pray. We want all the benefits of love from God, yet we don't pray. We pray, ding, when we need something. We call that a bellhop. Kailangan ko lang ito, God, ding! Trabaho, ting, may sakit ako, ting, galit ako, ting, ting. You know when I speak in an English congregation, ding, Filipino, ting. I just noticed that. The same thing with a frog. You ever notice a frog? English congregation, ribbit, Filipino, kontak. I just noticed that. Why do we pray then? Why do we only pray when we need something? Which tells me one thing. You're praying for you, not for God. Don't you know that God already knows what you need before you even ask? Yet, when you talk to him, I put it on me. I. My. Very rare. I did this with this group so they can attest to it. I said one Tuesday, let's pray, except let's not pray for us. And I thought maybe 5 minutes. 5 minutes, we'll go through 5 minutes. When you think of somebody else besides you, you pray. You pray for that person out loud, popcorn prayer. There was maybe, if I counted right, 7 or 8 of us, I remember. And I said, if God puts that person in your head, you better not deny it, you better pray. Whoever it is. And then of course in my head, not that one, but okay. And I did. And so did my brother. And so did my sister. And before you knew it, it was 20 minutes. Because we're just waiting now. Who am I going to pray for next? Rarely do we pray like that. Usually it's for us. And we can pray all night for us. We can start from our hair to our feet. Everything around us, usually for us. But we were made for prayer. Problem is, we got stuck in what happens. We got stuck in tradition. So when we pray now, we pray for extravagance. May nakikinig, dapat maganda. I say to my friends before, you know, when I used to pray in prayer meeting, they always say, get in groups of threes, di ba? Threes. I'm looking, wala akong kilala. I always end up with the deacon and the pastor. Like, oh, ang ganda ng prayer now. Such big prayers, words. Oh, Heavenly Father, oh, host of hosts. So, of course, I have to come up with big words too. I don't really want to pray, but just now I lost my prayer in what? Trying to please people around. We got caught in habits, in routine. But we lost why we pray. I have a story recently of being on the subway. I went to visit somebody downtown. I came back. And on the subway, there are trains. The older ones, it's blocked off. Each train, its own. Sitting on the train, three Muslim clerics. I'm reading a Muslim book. Of course, they come, brother, hi. Can we talk to you? Yes, let's talk. And I realized, what am I going to talk about? Because I'm in the train by myself. And I don't want to argue. So they were asking me about my belief. And I said, oh. My prayer was, I said, what am I going to do? I want to make it to the next station. And they want to talk about, so do you think that the Muslim faith is a faith of peace? Well, brothers, I would like to, and it started off that way. What I did, I prayed. I could have gone into, you know, I did study the Quran a little bit. I know the history. Let's go ahead with Muhammad and Jesus. Let's do this. Let's go historical. Let's go. Why did we have all those religious wars? Was the Crusades because of the Islam? All my head was going. The logic was going in my head. And I stopped. And I said, whoa, that's me. That's me. I'm going to pray. And I pray, Lord, please help me get to the next station. That's my station. And let me talk to my brothers here. And I listened. And I opened up my mouth. And we had the best discussion ever. Best discussion ever. They said they had some more questions. And hopefully they call me or email me. Why prayer? Because if you pray, you will have the power of God. I know that. If we read James all the way to the Old Testament with Elijah. If you understand what happened in the story of Elijah, when he had to meet all these priests against just one. He had nothing else except him and God. They had all them and their gods. What happened? Pray. And now your words when you pray are empowered. Brothers and sisters, when you talk to people, how come it's not resonating? Maybe there's not enough prayer. But prayer empowers you to speak the word of God. And I keep reading the life of Elijah. And then he's somewhere, nowhere, hungry. What happened? Pray. And what did he get? Food. From where? Nobody knows. God. Birds. When you pray, do you understand that that provides for your needs? But see, we define needs differently. That's the problem that we have. You see, for me, if I said, God bless me, I think, okay, I'm going to stare at my bank account to see if it goes up. Because I said, God bless me. To me, automatically, it's how much? How much? But God says, I will give you money, except this way. Money that you can't see, but is valuable. I will make your car last longer. Hindi malam yan. I will protect you that way. It could be costly, but you don't even see it. Just drive, brothers. Drive at my name. I'll take care of the car. Walk in my name. I'll take care of the sheep. Amen. But we don't see that. And then we have places like this where we worship. I wonder how much it is somewhere else if we didn't have our hearts into it. I wonder if you even get a lease. I wonder if you get ample parking. You see, you don't see these things because you own it. All of a sudden you own it. It becomes corporate. When actually it's by faith, not by sight. So God empowers you through prayer. God provides your needs. And you know, I have a youth downtime. His name is Ish. He wasn't even supposed to be born. When he was in his mother's stomach, the doctor says, you know, one of your twins is not going to make it, and it's going to be a vegetable. Don't waste your life. Let's get the healthy one out, and let's get rid of that one. And our church prayed. And in the name of Jesus, we said, we are praying that this will all work out in the name of Jesus. So we will wait. I will tell you right now, maybe my young guys know Ishes downtown. Ishmael. He's now 21 years old. He is helping around the church. He's getting in the way of people. Now he's in my... He's helping with the audiovisual. Don't you know when you're praying, you experience the miracle working power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? But again, we're looking for a miracle that we want. The magic act. Right? The David Copperfield. That's what we want. We want to levitate. But you know what? When you talk to your friends and you have empowerment, when their lives change, that's the biggest miracle of all. Their hearts start to change. Just because you pray. And then we talk about victorious life. We have issues with anguish. The T's, right? Trials, temptations, tribulations, the T's, you know? So we're on T this week? Which one? Trial this week or temptation? Which one? So we're on T's this week. But we pray for what? Victory. If you pray, God gives you victory. But see, the prayer is not to take you through the trials, temptations, and tribulations, you know? The prayer is to what? Give me strength. Give me strength. Don't take that away. Give me strength to go through it. So it's prayer to change my heart out. You know, if you keep changing the circumstance, you walk into a circumstance, walk into a circumstance, iba iba. That's why some people go from one job problema, next job problema na naman, next job problema na naman, next job problema na naman, even worse, ready? Go from one church, problema. Next church, problema. Another church, problema. What about this one? Relationship, problema. Next relationship, problema. What the problem is? Not the circumstance, but it's you. Maybe the prayer is not to change the circumstance, to change me in my heart. And then you can you imagine walking into any circumstance with a changed life? That's a miracle. That's what I challenge you for. That's what prayer is for. Now I'm going to hurt you a little bit. I'm going to open opening. Brothers and sisters, we know what prayer can do. We know where prayer is in our lives. But can I ask you something? Why is it working for us? Why is prayer not as powerful as I thought it was in our lives? I prayed. What happened? If you look at James 4:3, I won't read it. If you want to make notes, it's good to have these five verses. You can use this in your Bible studies, in your reference, in your personal studies. James 4:3, why are my prayers not effectual, is the word. Effective. What does James 4:3 say? Well, if you pray with the wrong motive, prayer is not effective. I love basketball. It's basketball season. March Madness is done. Now we're going to NBA playoffs. So me, as a Christian in Toronto, I'm praying the Toronto Raptors win. Right? Well, the Christian in Cleveland is saying that the Cleveland Cavaliers win. So who's right? What's my motive? Sometimes we pray, Lord, oh, please hurt him really bad. Don't kill him, just hurt him. What? Lord, I want this job. I am sorry for my friend, but I deserve it more. Our prayers are not motivated by righteousness. How will God uphold? You're denying God his character of being good. If your motive is wrong, prayer cannot prevail. And then Psalm 66:18 tells us, and this one I wrestled with a long time in my life. You see, in Psalm 66:18, it tells us, if sin is regarded in you, prayer is not effective. Well, wait a second. I said, how can you not know? You know, so I'm human. I make mistakes. That's not what it says. If you understand the consistency, and ready, here's the word, the totality of the Bible and the character of God and what his intent is, hence God came and died for all sins, past, present, and future. Here is the point. If sin is regarded, prayer is not effective. Wait a second. Which sin? This sin. The sin that we knowingly harbor. We know it's wrong. We know it's wrong. Not only do we know it's wrong, we harbor it. Pinapakain pa natin, lumalaki na. You see, when it was a puppy, it was cute. Sa akin lang naman eh. There's nobody else that gets affected by this sin. It's cute. Then you feed it, and you feed it, and you coddle it, and it becomes a beast. And you can't control it anymore. And then you come to God, and you say, Lord, what happened? If you knowingly harbor sin, how effective is your prayer, brothers and sisters? And then Mark 11:25. I love Filipinos. I'm a Filipino. Sorry, lang, but I have to say this. Mark 11:25. An unforgiving spirit will hinder prayer. I know, Filipinos, you have we. I say we, para hindi gagal sa akin. We tend to grudge a little bit too long. I can tell because last week, ganyan tingin sa akin, no? This week, ito na. God, you know, you can tell. You know, I love when old style church comes into play and then you tayuan, shake hands, di ba? There's a welcome here, a welcome here. There's a taguan na. And you don't even know. They're called silent church killers. Kung may problema kami dalawa, okay, you welcome to our cell group. Sino sa cell group niyo? Si Ana at saka si busy ako. Unforgiving spirit, brothers and sisters. I still can't imagine this. I came from a church. I've been there for 30 plus years. And then when I started leading, somebody came up to me and I said, you know, I'm mad at you. Oh, I'm sorry. Can we talk? Let's have coffee. What happened, kuya? Ano nangyari? What did I say? What did I don't recall. You know, when you were 12, huh? When you were 12, binasok mo ako. Ay, nako! I said, you know how old I am now? Unforgiving spirit. What's the reason? You know, in the Bible, it's so straight. Freely you have been given. You have been given forgiveness freely. You have been blessed freely. Now freely give. Yan ang problema ng mga Kristiyano. We love the benefits, di ba? We have koinonia, we have group, yay! Kainan, yay! Forgiveness, yay! Righteousness, yay! Prayer, forgiveness. Love ko siya. We do not want the what? The responsibility. But you want maturity in congregation? Freely you have been given. Freely give. So prayer with the wrong motive can't prevail. Sin knowingly is harbored, can't prevail. Unforgiving spirit will hinder prayer. And then Matthew 5, 23 and 24 says that an unwillingness to be reconciled to another hinders prayer. Unwillingness to be reconciled, meaning this, if I have a problem with my brother, there's a line there. I can only go so far. God knows that. Please, brother, come to the line. Let's meet at the line. Okay. Please forgive me, brother. I love you. Ikaw niya. I can only go so far. God doesn't hold me accountable beyond that line. That's your responsibility. If you are unwilling to reconcile with me, God will not judge me because I tried. I came. I can only go so far. I can't change your heart. You and God have to work on that. I can't do it. If you can't reconcile with somebody, prayer is going to be hindered. First Peter 3:7. Marami ba mga single dito?
Amen.
Amen.
Sorry. Excuse me na lang. 1 Peter 3:7. If you read that, I will say this. A wrong human relationship will hinder prayer. One of the biggest verses that I came across growing up, and I always studied and I studied and I studied and I studied because I wanted to rationalize, I wanted to justify. Rationalization just means lying to yourself. That's all it means. Don't be unequally yoked, di ba? That goes with everything, including intimate friendships, including business partners. My biggest mistake. Now, put the sanctity of love and marriage into that. What do you think is going to happen? How can you define what perfect and godly love is if the other person has no idea what it is? How can you act it out? How could you even go through forgiveness? How could you even go through reconciliation? How could you even go through tithing? How could you even go through purpose? Pero I'm in love, brother. But that's what happened. That verse just tells me priority and idolatry. That's all it is. God is the center of everything, including prayer and including your struggles. Did you not know this? This is what we're called to be. This is what we're called to do. Prayer. Word of God. Fasting. I would love to go through fasting with you. There's a challenge I'm going through with the guys. I'm having a hard time. I'm trying to pull through. Even the Word of God daily. You know, the Word of God begets prayer. Prayer and the Word of God begets faith. Faith begets the Word of God and prayer. And prayer and the Word of God begets faith. You see where I'm going with this. Every single day, mute God. Every day. I don't mean, okay, I'm going to go through the whole book of Genesis today. No, no, take it easy. Take it easy. Start slow. 5-5-5. You know what 5-5-5 is? Is my challenge 5-5-5? 5 minutes reading the Word. Don't even read every... You know, everybody loves the daily bread. But everybody remembers the poem at the end of the daily bread. Nobody remembers the two chapters you have to read on the top left corner of the daily bread. As a matter of fact, they changed it. I noticed 7 years ago, they even changed it to smaller fonts. Because a lot of people love the daily bread for the emotive. It makes me feel good, which is the danger. I say this to you again. If you are going to build your foundation in Christ, go foundational, not supplemental. Foundation is the Word of God, period. Supplemental is what everybody else writes about the foundation. So 5 minutes reading the Word of God. Ready? Every single day, 5 minutes. Whatever it is. Next 5 minutes, prayer. Prayer about what? Oh, Lord, no. Not what you need. About what you just read. Lord, I didn't know that. It's amazing. Thank you. That was 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Oh, don't tell me you don't have 10 minutes. You line up for coffee for 10 minutes. And then you drink it for another 10 minutes. See? And then the last 5 minutes, what do? Reflect on what you just read. Reflection just means challenge me to what? To live it and to apply it. Reflection. Did I really understand it? How does that sustain me in my life? 5, 5, 5. Ready, brothers and sisters? If you get better, 10, 10, 10. Before you know it, the whole day. But don't jump. From 0, 0, 0, and you go to 24, 24, 24 hours, that's impossible. 5, 5, 5. Let's not be silly. Don't go 1, 1, 1. In the beginning, or in the thumbnail. If you want to revive Word of God, prayer and fasting. I'd love to get into the Word of God and fasting, but let me start with prayer with you, huh? You know what prayer can do. You're built for prayer, and you know what prayer God doesn't really want. So the challenge for you is, as we bow our heads and close our eyes, I want you to restart your prayer mantra, saying, Lord, I'm going to meet you every day in prayer. I'm going to meet you every day at your word. And I'm going to reflect on those things every single day. Let me start with 1 week. And when I do that, let me start with 1 month. And if I do that, let me go to 1 year. If you want to commit that to the Lord right now, you can go ahead and do that. I challenge you, and next time I see you, I will ask you, how was your 5, 5, 5? Anyhow. So 2017, it's not too late. You're in what we call Q1, finishing. You're going to quarter 2, quarter 3, quarter 4. What are we going to do this year in terms of reviving our spirituality so that we can do more for the church, our family, and the community? Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for our time. We thank you that you ordained yourself to us, that you have everything we need. You're enough. You have the power, you have the name, you have all the provisions that we will ever need, and yet we go to you last, and help us to go to you first. We ask, Lord, that right now we establish our accountability to you. And I'm going to pause for 1 minute while my brothers and sisters pray to you. And as we take this moment of silence, I want you to renew your ties with the Lord through the Word of God and prayer. And if you want to even fast, you can start that. You can ask the leadership, Brother Adele, on some of the specifics on fasting. But I want you to pray to God personally. And I want you to be accountable that you're going to really, really make an effort in daily Word of God and daily prayer. Lord, as we enjoy just reflecting on who you are, we praise you because you have given us so many things that we even don't notice. And we're always wanting the things that we think we need, but you say no because you know better. You give us more than what we need before we even ask. So as we come to you now, Lord, help us to be challenged by communicating with our best friend, our Father in heaven,
in heaven, our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Daily. We thank you for giving us this freedom where we can do that in the beautiful country of Canada, in this place of Milton. Help us to not only see you every day, but also to share what we see in you with our friends around us. Our families. The ones closest to us first. And then we go out from our Jerusalem to our Judea, our Samaria. We'll leave that to you. But right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray for growth in this church.
Amen.
And help us, Lord, not to even look at growth the way the world looks at it, but the way you want us to grow.
Yes.
Starting in our hearts and in our families, and from there, you will take care of the rest. We plant the seed.
Yes.
The watering and everything else and what comes out, that's all you.
Yes.
And we praise you because there's already something on its way when we are steadfast. Well, we fall, absolutely, but because who you are and your mercy and your grace, you will pick us up and we will continue to walk in your glory. Thank you for that. So until we see you again, Lord, help us to be strong in our work here, in our efforts, personally, and then as a church. We thank you for those who are leading. We ask, Lord, that you also put a fire on all the members, saying, this is our church and we will help. We need a place where Jesus can be seen here in the midst of nothing. In the mighty name of our Holy Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.